ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग दिस सेमिनार श्रील प्रभुपाद बुक्स सिंपल या डीप, एंड आई डिस्कस समथिंग यस्टरडे, इट्स अ कंटिन्यूएशन ऑफ दैट, बट आई वांट टू रिपीट सम थिंग्स, सो आई जस्ट रीकैप what we discussed, just few minutes. Now, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in his books that he's complained that devotees are not reading books. And if you don't read books, you'll simply eat, sleep and fall down. That's what Prabhupada says. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. And also, Prabhupada sent a letter to Governing Body Commission means leaders. And 1976, almost at the last period of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, he wrote a letter and he said that the problem is with ISKCON. Whatever problem ISKCON is facing, managerial problems, preaching problems, relationship problems, leadership problems, all are due to not reading books. Now, there are many reasons of not reading books, which we discussed yesterday, but, well, this is one letter to Hamsadut Prabhu, 1972, and Prabhupada said that he wants everybody, especially leaders, to read books. Not only books, books means Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Gita, and also tapes. Tapes means letters, which were recordings, letters, room conversations, and morning walks. Letters were not tapes, but actually written. So, Prabhupada wants everything, whatever Prabhupada said and wrote, we should know. Because he is a founder acharya. Half knowledge is very dangerous. That's the problem in ISKCON now. And there are debates. Okay, what instrument should we use in music, for example? It's a big debate now. Now people use bongo or whatever. Should we use or not? Okay. Some questions, answers, and then there's a debate. Some debates are big debates. Female should become guru or not. So there are many debates. So how should we decide what is right, what is wrong? Prabhupada books. These are big things. At personal level also, there are small things which concerns us. This is institutional things. At our level, personal level, how should we advance in devotion? How should we keep ourselves enthusiastic? All this needs reading Prabhupada books in toto, a holistic thing. So why don't people read books? There are five reasons, which I could figure out. There can be many small reasons, but these are main. People argue that Prabhupada books are A, B, C. That's all. Not X, Y, Z. Basics. People argue Prabhupada books repeat. People argue Prabhupada books are boring because they repeat simply. Many devotees who read Prabhupada books, they after some time they stop reading Gita. So the problem is because Gita, you have to shift now, you have to keep on shifting. So Gita, the problem is that Gita, people stop reading Gita because they think, oh, it is boring. Same things, no? It's not systematic. That's a problem. People think like that. I'll show you it's not like that. And no time. This is the best excuse which anybody can give, even if he can solve all those problems. So how do we counteract these problems? Now we have to counteract these points to get inspired to read Prabhupada books and inspire others to read Prabhupada books. Okay, so Prabhupada said that everything is in his books, from A, B, C, D to X, Y, Z. What do we mean by everything? Before that, Prabhupada said in 1974 that I have given all hints and all guidance. Both words are important. Guidance for elevating in spiritual life, for example, 16 rounds, 4 regulatory principles, basics. Maybe hints for preaching, for book distribution, for opening centers. You need practical advices. So Prabhupada has given everything. And Prabhupada says, now it is up to you. We have to read. We have to read. It is up to us. Prabhupada has done his job. So, a spiritual master can show the way. We have to walk. He cannot walk for us. And why do people feel that Prabhupada's books are ABCD? Because Prabhupada mentions himself, gives a reason in one of his letter. And Prabhupada says, I think this letter or... No, this is not letter. This is, I think, conversation. And Prabhupada says, my purports are liked by people because they are presented in practical experience. They are not ABCD translation. Prabhupada has done practical explanation of those purports, of chapters, of word-to-word meanings, of statements. He has given his realizations. And that is why people who are not realized, people who are not following Krishna consciousness properly, people who are not practicing, people who are not preaching what Prabhupada wants, people who are not doing book distribution, people who are not outside on the streets, who are sitting in their home. Home means, outside the street means people who are not doing these kind of programs. Nothing, just life is going on. They will never understand what Prabhupada has to say, because then they'll be looking after points. No. Points. Information. And not realization. They'll be looking for knowledge and not wisdom. And Prabhupada's books are giving knowledge and realization and wisdom. That is what Prabhupada's books are giving. Oh, can you just find and close this off? My phone is open. Okay, now. I discussed yesterday all these things. Now let me just start at this point. How Prabhupada books have everything? How Prabhupada books have everything? Now I'll give you some examples for all these things. I told you yesterday that I have read almost all Sampradaya's books. No, Pallava Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, Ramanuj Sampradaya, Nimbark Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami, some of them. I read Sanskrit, Gujarati. To read Vallabh Sampradaya books, I learned Gujarati. To read Gaudiya Vaishnava books, I learned Bengali. To read Purandar Das, Ganak Das, I learned little Kannada. I cannot speak, but I can read and understand little bit. So, I read all those things, but then I came to conclusion that Prabhupada books have everything. When I came back, so you don't need to waste time now. You simply have to read books, and how to read, that I'm going to explain now. Just keep track what I'm going to say, and in the end I'll summarize what all you have to keep in mind when you're reading Prabhupada books. If you want to take out the nectar, if you want to take out the philosophy, and if you want to take out everything what Prabhupada has to give. And this is the example. Four examples for four Sampradaya. Now this statement I found in letter 1976, Bombay. Prabhupada says, service is reward of service. You can see everybody? Service is reward of service. This statement forms the foundation of Sri Sampradaya. All what Sri Sampradaya has to say. Sri Sampradaya means Ramanuj. All what has to say, it is one statement. Again and again this statement is repeated. When Ramanujacharya departed this world, it was his last statement is this. One of the last statements. Service is reward of service. What do you get by service? Service. Simple. I mean to say, once one devotee asked Prabhupada's guru, Bhakti Shanta, that I have been serving for last 20 years in the mutt, was sannyasi. What did I get? I don't have bank account today. I'm old. I don't have children. I don't have wife. No security. What did I get? And Bhakti Shanta started weeping. Tears were rolling on his cheeks, and he said, see, the problem is not that you're asking question. The problem is everybody has this question. Some people ask, some people don't. And the answer to your question is that you don't have to ask what I got. You already got. Because Krishna has done a favor to you by giving you an opportunity to serve. So we have to remember, although our goal is love, what is our goal? Love of God. But love of, why do we want love of God? Why do we want? For our enjoyment? No, we want love of God to serve Him better. Everything is service, no? We want love so that you can serve Krishna 24 hours. Is it? If we don't have love, just like we don't have love now, we have to push ourselves. If you have love, you don't have to push. Love will push you. So we want love because it is favorable to service. That is why the goal of life, our goal of life is love of God. But the need is service. That goal will enthuse, will mature your need. That's the idea. So that is why service is reward of service. If you do some service, Krishna, if you do some service for Krishna, what Krishna is going to give you? Okay. Krishna will say, okay, fine. I give you blessings so that next program you will distribute khichdi to my devotees. That's what he's going to give you. And then he will say, oh, I'm distributing khichdi, I didn't get anything. But that is what is devotion. Service is reward of... This is Prabhupada saying from letters. That is why you have to read letters. I didn't find this in Prabhupada books. It's not there in Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Bhagavatam. It might be there, but not so explicitly. But I found this statement in Prabhupada letters, and I was shocked that Sri Sampradaya has this one statement. Finish. Everything you read, it will come to this statement, Sri Sampradaya. And then Vallabh Sampradaya, Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. All what Vallabhacharya has to say is these two statements. We should not be astonished, Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 9th chapter, 36th verse. We should not be astonished to find contradictions in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vallabhacharya's whole philosophy is revolving around Virudh Dharma Ashray. He is saying, he is trying to make us understand God has contradictory qualities. That is what Vallabh is trying to help us understand. Because generally you say, God has all good qualities, no? But Vallabhacharya says, no. Is all good qualities and all evil qualities. Evil. All bad qualities, yeah. But those bad qualities, when they touch Krishna, they become good. You understand? So Krishna is a best, I mean to say Krishna, Krishna is always truthful. Krishna also speaks lies. He speaks lies, no, Vrindavan? Krishna steals. He's perfect moralist, but he steals. So they are all contradictory qualities, but his stealing is good. That's the idea. It's not evil. In our eyes, it's evil, but when it connects to God, it becomes good. You understand? So, he walks, he doesn't walk. There's a verse. He sees, he doesn't see. Tad ichati, tad na ichati, tad dure, tad vantike, is Upanishad. So he's having all contradictory qualities. And first canto, 16th chapter, Prabhupada makes a statement, the Lord feels grateful to his devotees for such unsophisticated an unconditional service. You see this word, unsophisticated? So when you read Prabhupada's purports, you have to focus on what words Prabhupada is using, because Prabhupada used to think for 3 days, 4 days to write one word. Sometimes, not always. Because he knew that his books are law books for next 10,000 years. Prabhupada was thinking what? Because Sanskrit is different, English is different, you know. So you have to put your ideas perfectly. Prabhupada says, Lord feels grateful to his devotees for unsophisticated service. What do you mean by unsophisticated?
Unreliable service?
No, Prabhupada says unconditional. For that, Prabhupada writes the word unconditional. You can see from there. Then you come there. So unconditional service, Prabhupada writes. Unalloyed. But here he says unsophisticated. Unsophisticated means service without diplomacy. Sophisticated, you know this word sophisticated, it is coming from Greek word sophistry. In Greek ancient times there was an art, sophistry. So politicians used to practice sophistry. Sophistry means the art of cheating. So then this word was borrowed from Greek culture by corporates, business people, and their whole idea is to cheat. No. So this word changed in English to sophisticated. Sophisticated doesn't mean that he's a good person. He's a gentleman. Sophisticated means he's a cheater. He wants to exploit you. No. External something, inside something. So sophistication, no? So unsophisticated means not diplomatic. Not diplomatic. We are coming to Krishna with some other aim, but we are trying to show something else, no? That's not a good thing. And no agenda. Yeah. You're trying to show something, but you have something in your heart. Then that's bad. That is why this word Prabhupada used, unsophisticated. See, this word is unsophisticated, but the word is unsophisticated, but to understand it's a little sophisticated. No? You have to apply your mind when you have to read Prabhupada books. You have to read every word carefully, what he's speaking. Don't just keep on reading. You have to keep your mind. Give your mind that Prabhupada is speaking, Acharya is speaking. He's not using anything uselessly, no? There's a purpose. Unconditional service. Point is, Lord tries to be grateful to his devotees for his service and reciprocate by rendering service. See? So Krishna feels grateful when somebody does service to him. He feels kritagya. Kritagya, you understand? Grateful, he feels obliged. Any service you do, any service, even if you do that service with full intention, even if you do service by chance, even if you do service without any real intention, mechanically, or maybe just by force, Krishna, okay, no problem. Krishna feels grateful. He's like that, no? He's very humble. He's a good... So, and he reciprocates by rendering service. Generally, we have heard Krishna gives mercy, no? But that is from our perspective. From Krishna's perspective, Krishna thinks, I am serving my devotees. He doesn't think I am giving mercy. That we think. Just like sannyasi comes and you ask for mercy, blessings. He'll give you blessings, but he will not think in his mind, I am giving blessings. He will think that I am serving this devotee. Because devotion is all about service, no? You are servant. You are not higher, lower. So, such a nice statement, huh? Although the devotee also has no such desire in his heart. Devotee doesn't have a desire that Krishna will serve me or think about me. Devotee wants Krishna to actually be happy in whatever he is doing. He doesn't want to attract attention of Krishna on ourselves, no? That's not the idea. What does servant want? Servant wants that the master should do his work nicely, no? It's not that servant doesn't want that master should always think about him. That's nonsense. So that's what devotee wants. Okay, we'll serve Krishna. Let him be happy. Let his mission go on. If he wants to think about us, okay. If he doesn't want to think about us, that's fine. This one statement is packed with so much information. This is Vallabha Sampradaya. If you want to ask any Vallabha Acharya, if you quote the statement in Srinathji, Vallabha Sampradaya is where? Srinathji? You know Srinathji, India? Gujarat. Yeah, Gujarat, Rajasthan. If you go and quote this statement, they'll become your friend, you know. How do you understand a philosophy? It's like all what they have to say, this is there in this statement. That's all. Finish. And this is Madhva Sampradaya. All what Madhva Acharya has to say is just in this statement. 7th chapter, 22nd verse. Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul, they worship Super Soul, Madhva Sampradaya, is also present within the heart of demigods. That's what Madhva says. Demigods are pure devotees, according to Madhva Acharya, and Krishna is in their heart, no? We worship Krishna who resides in the heart of Madhva. Ananda Tirtha Hirdaya, this is the verse Vadiraj says. So, they worship Super Soul in the heart of devotees. That is Madhva system. And therefore arranges through the demigod to fulfill desire of living entities. But both demigods and living entities are dependent on the supreme will. They are not independent. This is Madhva Sampradaya. This is Madhva Acharya, no? Two fingers. You see, what is this two fingers for? Soul, super soul? No. Wrong. It is not for that. Because Madhva said it is to argue that there is soul, super soul, that is foolishness. It is obvious. We don't have all power, no? It is obvious, no? So Madhva said, these two fingers are not a soul, super soul. That is obvious. Like, I don't want to argue on this point, that this is female, this is male. This is obvious, no? There is soul, and there is super soul. Super soul has infinite powers. We are finite. But what Madhva's point is, two fingers, is super soul is independent, soul is dependent. That's what his philosophy was. That's why Dvaita. Dvaita doesn't mean soul, super soul. Dvaita means independent, dependent. The whole philosophy is in this one statement, Prabhupada says. So did you read this? This is seven chapter. This is Bhagavad Gita. Did you ever read properly? No. We didn't know. But it's there. And all what Nimbark Sampradaya has to say is this statement, elevation to Krishna consciousness.
What number is that? Second chapter.
Seven chapter, 22nd verse. That's Purport. Purport. And elevation to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada's small books. Chapter 1, Prabhupada says, part of spiritual pleasure experienced in the Vaikuntha is a pleasure of dancing. There are also young girls and young boys. So it's a pretty simple statement, but very deep. Nimbark Sampradaya is based on this statement, that's all. If you read Mahavani of Nimbark Sampradaya, there's a book. If you read Parijat Saurabh, if you read Keshav Kashmiri's commentary, there's just one theme. They're always meditating on Krishna and Radha dancing. Raslila, their whole meditation, their whole philosophy goes around that. There's Nimbark Sampradaya. And this is small, you know, this is a small book. There are some big books, Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. This elevation to Krishna consciousness is small book. It is like this much, maybe 100 pages. And such a big statement. So don't think, Prabhupada, small books are small. They're not small. They're equally important. It is not that, like many devotees, they read small books, okay, finish, you know. Now, Gita finished. Now, what we are reading? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam. What you're reading about 10th canto. You can read, no problem. But at the same time, even now I read small books. You understand small books? Small books. Even if you now read Science of Self-Realization, Perfect Question, Perfect Answer, especially this Elevation to Krishna Consciousness, it's very, these books are very deep. They are not small. They are big. So, Vigita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanyamrita, letters, conversations, morning walks, and small books. This is a package which you have to read. Otherwise, you can't make out anything what Prabhupada is speaking. It will be so much half and hodgepodge. There will be confusion, and then you will say, we are not feeling enthusiastic and whatever. So, all four sampradayas in Prabhupada books. That's why I told Prabhupada books have everything from ABC to XYZ. Not only four sampradayas. What's happening? Prabhupada books also have everything means all philosophy. Philosophy and rasa. So everything means, there are two things, tattva vichar and rasa vichar. Any sampradaya you go, you can divide their books into two parts. One is philosophy and one is, how do we say rasa? Mellows. So if you go to Madhva sampradaya, for example, if you want to read philosophy, if you really want to read philosophy, real philosophy, you can read Jayatirtha, Tikachare. You'll not understand any damn thing, first of all. But he writes Nyaya Sudha. You can go mad. You can't read in, we can't read in that life, in this life, that book is really, if you want to read philosophy, okay, that's philosophy, Madhva Sampradaya. If you want to read taste in Madhva Sampradaya, rasa, then you go to Purandar Das, Kanak Das, songs, Dasa Sampradaya, Dasa. So Vadi Raj, so nice songs. There's taste in that, no? There's philosophy and taste. So Prabhupada books have philosophy and taste. You see Prabhupada books. Prabhupada has written letter to, I'm talking about letters. There are many things, Priestley's letters. Letter to Hamsadur, Prabhupada is writing, our philosophy is above all these things. Just like we prescribe to our students no illicit sex, no meditating, no intoxication, no gambling. These are four regulative principles. But Prabhupada writes here, but they are not ends in themselves. A point of Krishna consciousness is not these four regulative principles. You understand? So you see, Prabhupada is giving some insight. Point of Krishna consciousness is not just four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds. That's not the point. But they are not the ends in themselves. The real end is how to serve Krishna and sacrifice everything for him. This is Krishna consciousness. Chanting four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds, they are the means. No? Means. To attain what? To attain this mood of serving Krishna. And to sacrifice everything for him. To take risks for him. We should come to a point in our life by chanting and following regulative principles that we are convinced that life is to serve Krishna. We don't need anything else. That's going to give us perfect satisfaction. We don't need anything else except that. And we should not fear in taking risks for him. That is what Prabhupada is saying. It's a simple statement, but if you really think about it, Prabhupada is putting everything here. He's giving insight, no? So everything means everything, and everything means all information, all sampradaya's information, that's horizontal, and everything also means vertical, depth. Prabhupada is giving us depth. If you ask any ISKCON person, what is Krishna consciousness? What is chanting Hare Krishna and four regulative principles? That's what people think, no? Any at least congregation. Oh, we have four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds. Okay, that's it. Oh, we are done, no? You're done, I mean to say. People think like that. We initiated and this is it. Somehow finish 16 rounds and four regulative principles and okay, fine. But that's not the point. If you do like that, you're going to elevate. The point is to sacrifice everything for him. This is the point. We have to sacrifice our time. Just like you are doing now. Coming to program is a sacrifice, no? No? You would have slept. Or probably you might be feeling sleepy now. But Krishna appreciates sacrifice. 16 rounds, we are chanting 16 rounds. Why Krishna is happy when we are chanting 16 rounds? Why? Why? We can chant just once, Hare Krishna, and that's it pretty much. People say no. Okay, chant once and twice with love and that's okay. You know, why are you chanting again and again? No, the point is Krishna is saying we are sacrificing our time, 16 rounds. He wants to see sacrifice. That is why entire Vedas is all about yajna. Yajna, no? Yajna. Either you do yajna swaha, that's one kind of yajna, fire. Or you do yajna like that, sacrifice your time. That's all. Sacrifice your life. Sacrifice your life. Preach. Like Prabhupada. Prabhupada went to America. He sacrificed his life, no? He could have died on the ship. Who knows? Two heart attacks. So Krishna consciousness is all about sacrifice. That we have to learn. So, and risk. Sacrifice also includes risk, no? Sacrifice includes risk. So we have to understand, we have to come to this point. Prabhupada writes to Hamsadut. So, see, he's giving insight, no? Vertical. It's not just horizontal everything. It's vertical, depth. And Prabhupada is writing in Bhagavatam 10th canto, 32nd chapter, 20th verse. This is a big verse. Anyway, I'll just read for you. This excellent paragraph if you read. Okay, tell me, when you pray, Krishna, please purify me. Please accept me as your servant. I want to see you. Please give you darshan. What Krishna will do? If you pray to Krishna, Krishna, please give me your darshan. Darshan? You understand darshan? Darshan, you understand? In English, what do we say? Please show your form, name, pastimes to me. Please appear. Devotee wants, no? So what will Krishna do? What is he supposed to do? I'm hiding this anyway. Let me just hide this. Okay.
He will test to make sure that you are the real.
Okay, good. We can put in some other way. What Krishna will do? Prabhupada writes here. You see, Prabhupada says. This might seem as some contradiction, but it comes. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yatha Mam Prabhadyate Tam Sate Bhajamyam. As people approach me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. Yet even if the Lord is approached by someone with devotion, to intensify devotee's love, the Lord may not immediately reciprocate fully. In fact, the Lord is truly reciprocating. After all, a sincere devotee always prays to the Lord, please help me to love you purely. Therefore, the Lord's so-called neglect is actually the fulfillment of devotee's prayer. Lord Krishna intensifies a love for him by apparently separating himself from us. And the result is that we achieve what we really wanted and prayed for, intense love for absolute truth. Krishna, thus Lord Krishna, apparent neglect is actually his thoughtful reciprocation and fulfillment of our deepest and purest desires. If we pray to Krishna, Krishna, please manifest yourself in front of us, he will not do that. Why? Because he wants to intensify our, he wants to increase our hunger, no? To meet him. And when you are extremely hungry, then he will come. So your Prabhupada is saying, actually when you pray to Krishna, Krishna, please manifest yourself. He's reciprocating by not manifesting. You understand? It might seem some ironical, you know, irony, but it's like that. So is this do you think it's a small philosophy? It's a deep philosophy, if you think about it. And this is in Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So Prabhupada is giving vertical and depth. You got the point, Prabhupada books have everything. Sea as everything. Fishes, jewels, salt, minerals. But you should know how to take it out, no? Milk as everything. Butter, curd, cream. But you should know how to take it out, churn it. So you should know how to churn Prabhupada books. But the point is, if you don't read them, then what's the point? Then you have to read again and again. Then that is called churning, no? If you read again and again, then these points will hit you. In one go, you will miss this, 100%. Definitely you will miss this. If you read again and again and again and again, then these things will come out. Okay, so people who say Prabhupada books are ABC, not XYZ, they are fools. Simply fools. They have not read Prabhupada books. Even if they have read, they are finding some theory and information. Prabhupada is giving realization. This is realization, no? This is not information. These are realizations. Okay, Prabhupada books do not repeat. People say they repeat, no? Okay, how many times have you read this? Birth, death, disease, old age. How many times? Again, 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 again. So Prabhupada writes here, birth, death, old age, disease affect this material body but not the spiritual body. There is no birth, disease, old age for spiritual body. So one who wants to attain a spiritual body becomes one of the associates of Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages in eternal devotional service is really liberated. Okay? Now what do you find so special about here? No? So many times Prabhupada said this, no? Okay, if you get out of birth, that is old age, you get liberated. So Prabhupada is repeating? Is he repeating? No, he's not repeating. You know why? Because this is the portion of a purport to this verse. What is this verse? 7th chapter, 29th verse. You remember? Do you have any idea what is that verse? 729? Anybody? Jara marana mokshaya mama ashritya tantiye te brahma krishna param vidu. I forgot. Anyway. So this verse is, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental. You see, I was talking about context. So if you see the context, you will not find repetition. Now can anybody link this? This is the verse, actual verse. This is Prabhupada explains in the purport. Okay? Now what do you find special if you link these? If you read in context, there is something special in this verse, purport. What do you find? You understanding me? What I am saying? You getting? What's so special? It's same or what? Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation, this Krishna is speaking, for old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. And then Prabhupada explains birth, that this old age affects this material body but not spiritual body. There is no birth, there is old age for spiritual body. You can read casually, simple, okay, Prabhupada is repeating. No, it's not repetition. You have to read carefully. Now, even if you read carefully, you will not be able to make out. Somebody has to show you. We have to show you. Otherwise, it's not easy to make out. Now, the point is, see what Krishna is saying. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me. So, do we go to Krishna for getting liberated from old age and death? Do we go or not? Is this pure devotion or not? No. We don't go to Krishna for liberation, no? We don't want Krishna. Krishna, you free us from old age, birth, death, disease. Krishna will do that out of his own mercy. But what we want, we go to Krishna for what? Service. No? Krishna, you engage me in service. What Mahaprabhu prays? Even if I am still in birth, that disease, old age. Mama janmani janmaneshwari. Let me birth after birth in this cycle. But please engage me in your service. That is our prayer. We don't go for that. But Krishna is saying, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death, go to Krishna. Take refuge in devotional service. So is Krishna proposing impure devotional service? What do you say? Why do people, Krishna writes intelligent person? You getting my point? Is Krishna proposing to Arjuna, Arjuna, you should do impure devotional service to me. You should come to me for liberation from birth, death. So Krishna is trying to confuse us. You getting my point? Is he trying to give us something wrong knowledge to Arjuna? No. And that is where Prabhupada writes in the purport. Prabhupada explains what Krishna is saying. Prabhupada says, but there is old age, affect this material body, but not the spiritual body. This is the point here, spiritual body. There's no but there is old age for the spiritual body. So one who attains the spiritual body becomes one of the associate of God. Oh. The point is, why these people are intelligent? We are not going to Krishna for getting free of old age and death. We are going to Krishna for attaining what? Spiritual body. Because spiritual body is free of birth and death. Why do we want spiritual body? Material body is subjected to birth and death. Spiritual body is not subjected to birth and death. Why do we want spiritual body? No, we don't go for liberation to Krishna. Yes, because in spiritual body, no birth, no death, no hunger, no thirst. You can serve Krishna 24 hours.
But you are asking liberation only spiritual, getting a spiritual.
That is a point. That is what Prabhupada is explaining. We are not asking Krishna liberation. We are asking spiritual body. Spiritual body, you can be in spiritual body in this body itself. That can also be done. So, Krishna, we don't want liberation from birth, that is old age. We want spiritual body. If for giving spiritual body, I need to be out of the cycle, fine. If you can do without getting me out of the cycle, you can give spiritual body, I'm agreeing. No problem. You understand? No problem. But I want a spiritual body. This is called Jeevan Mukti. Inside material, inside, just like coconut. So when coconut becomes ripe, what happens? It separates, no? From inside. So liberated souls are like that. Liberated means perfected souls who love Krishna. Inside they know, they get spiritual body. They are disconnected from matter. But still they are in cycle of birth, death, no? They are here. That's what Krishna is saying, intelligent person. They are intelligent. They say to Krishna, Krishna, okay, fine. We are not coming to you for getting rid of old age, birth, death is old age. We want spiritual body. If to give us spiritual body, you have to take us out of this cycle, fine, do that. If without doing that you can give a spiritual body, we are agreeing. You understand? So, that is why our aim is spiritual body and not liberation. If you get spiritual body, you are automatically liberated. You understand? So why do you want to ask liberation from Krishna? An unnecessary favor. You can't ask Krishna so many favors, no? If you get liberation, if you ask Krishna, spiritual body, automatically you get liberation. If you serve Krishna, automatically you get peace and happiness. Why do you want to ask him peace and happiness, no? It makes sense, no?
Yeah.
That is why we don't ask Krishna, give me peace and happiness. Then Krishna will say, what else do you want? Then you will say, okay, we want your service. You get two favors. And this is not good. We don't want to ask Krishna again and again, no? To master, servant doesn't demand, no? The master says, okay, one. So you should be intelligent to ask something. Ask something in which every other thing is already, all prayers are within one prayer. Okay, understand? That is why Krishna says, intelligent persons. intelligent persons know that they will be liberated from old age and death if they get a spiritual body. So they don't ask Krishna for liberation. What they ask? Spiritual body for service. Simple. You understand? So this statement is not repetition. You got my point? It's not repetition. In the context, if you read, it is not repetition. It's very deep. It's not easy to understand this. Afterwards we can do. But remember that. What's the question anyway?
How about asking whatever is best for me?
No. Best for me? No, we don't know what's best for us. If we knew what's best for us, then we would not have been in material world. Best for us, we don't know. So better is we leave it to Krishna. Or we learn from Prabhupada books what is best for us. Prabhupada is teaching, no? Ask for spiritual body. Don't ask for birth, that is old age. And automatically you will be liberated. You understand? So we have to learn what is best for us, unfortunately. Just like a child, he has to learn what is best for him. Otherwise he'll ask chocolates. It's not best for him. Maybe tofu or something, you know. Or pastries, pizza. It's not good. We're a child. So that's why we're learning. Okay, you got the point? Prabhupada books have no repetition. We have to focus on the statements and keep the context. So when you're reading Prabhupada books, always keep the context. Otherwise, it looks same. Okay, I'll give you another example. How many times you have read Krishna as a supreme controller? So many times. No? You know, Prabhupada is, every Prabhupada is saying he's supreme controller, he's God, he's supreme controller. Come on, you don't have anything else to say or what? But no, you have to keep the context. Context. What is the context? This line comes in this verse. What is this verse? It's gone. 9th chapter. We discussed, no? 11th verse. Avajananti maam mudha manushim tanum ashritam. Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as Supreme Lord of all that be. When I come in human form, they think I am human. They don't know that my human form is transcendental. Now, what do you mean by transcendental? That's what Prabhupada is writing. Transcendental means Krishna is the supreme controller. There are many controllers undoubtedly, both in material and spiritual world, but Krishna is the supreme controller. Prabhupada is explaining the word transcendental here. He's not just writing a statement. So you might be reading so many times Krishna is supreme controller, but if you read in the context, then you will understand transcendental means Krishna is supreme controller. There are many controllers. Krishna is supreme controller. Shiva is also controller. Parvati controller. Brahma is controller. They maintain, destroy. But Krishna is supreme. You understanding? So here, Krishna is supreme controller is used in the context of explanation of transcendental. In other purports, Krishna is supreme controller may be used in some other context. So keep context in your mind. Okay, so what is this repetition for? No repetition, no? There's no repetition. Okay, and there's no repetition. Sometimes you also have to see the details what Prabhupada is writing. Otherwise, everything looks the same. Now, how many times have you read this statement? Concentration of mind upon Krishna is made possible by prescribed devotional service. Is 9 different ways. There are 9 different ways for devotional service. What are those? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. Finish. So, repeating? No, you have to keep some details in your mind. Prabhupada might be mentioning something after the statement. He is mentioning. This is 7th chapter, 1st verse, purport. Just after this statement, what Prabhupada is writing. You see. Of which Shravanam is the first and most important. We always thought Kirtanam is most important, no? But no. Shravanam is most important. If you go to folio, just go to folio. Write Shravanam is most important. Is important. It'll so many hits. Write Kirtanam is most important. No hit. Not get. You go and you try. Practice. Prabhupada never said Kirtanam is most important. Always in his letters, always in his books, Shravanam is first and most important. This is Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. How many times have you read Bhagavad Gita? So many times, no? Well, you didn't read. Because you know, when we keep on reading, okay, this is repetition, so go fast. So we don't give focus on minor details there. In every statement, Prabhupada is writing some details. But we, okay, fine, it's repeating. Okay, yeah, theek hai, ho gaya. No, you have to read every statement properly. There are some details there. So that is why hearing from devotees is most important. Even if you can't chant, no problem. Don't miss program. Never miss program. Even if program is sometimes boring, don't miss it. Come and hear. Because, so if you say, you know, well, we sometimes come and hear, it's boring. Well, so better chant. So our argument is, how much time you're chanting is interesting. Chanting is also boring so many times now. So it's not matter of boring and interesting. It's not matter of that. The point is to follow Prabhupada. Krishna will be happy if you follow Acharya, no? Acharya Nishtha, you have heard this. That's important. If you follow Guru, Yasya Prasadat, Bhagavat Prasado. Prabhupada is saying, Shravanam is most important. We have to hear. And Shravanam also includes reading. It includes reading. Because if you are reading Prabhupada books, you are hearing from Prabhupada. But still, better than that is to directly hear. Because what I am explaining, probably you wouldn't have got from Prabhupada books your entire life. Maybe, I don't know. But it's difficult to get this out if you are not immersed in that. You understand? So, Shravanam. That is why I am always focusing. Read books. That is why reading books is more important. Most important. Hear Prabhupada lectures, read books, come with devotees, discuss with them Prabhupada books. That is most important. If you don't do that, and if you think Kirtan is most important, you will not be able to chant properly. Without Shravanam, there is no Kirtanam. Then you will just finish your rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram. Ho gaya. Fine. Nahi hua. Kuch nahi hua. You finish your rounds, but you didn't please Krishna. That's the point. Idea is to please him, not to finish your rounds, no. So you can, that's why Prabhupada says, Bahu janma jadi kare shravan kirtan, tabhuna paaye Krishna prem dham. You can keep on chanting for many lifetimes, but still you will not get love. It's not one life. Many lifetimes Mahaprabhu says, Bahu janma jadi kare shravan kirtan. Because Mahaprabhu says, there are many offenses, many doubts, many misconceptions. And how will misconceptions go? Poison by poison, thorn by thorn. Doubts by? Misconceptions in knowledge by? Knowledge, no? You have to take knowledge. You have to hear from devotees. Read his books, otherwise there's a problem. So, there's no repetition. You can avoid repetition if you focus on some minor details in every statement. There are some minor details. Don't forget that. Context, minor details. And in Prabhupada's statements, there are many levels of meaning. Now, how many times you have read this statement? This Krishna book. Gopis are saying to Krishna, we are simply your maid servants and slaves. Gopis are saying, we are your maid servants. Have you heard this? We are maid servants. Please therefore accept us by showing your beautiful lotus-like face. Simple. People can read this statement, oh nice, Krishna is so nice. No, if somebody is asked to give lecture on this, what lecture will be there? Oh, Krishna is so beautiful, lotus-like, see, lotus-like. And then some points will be there on lotus. That's all the lecture is there. And some points on Krishna is nice and gopis are so nice and finished. So, but when you are reading Prabhupada's statements, don't take it lightly. He's not talking nonsense. He's not talking light. He's Acharya. You understand what is Acharya? Acharya is, he's not an ordinary person. No? He's a special person. So when Prabhupada is writing this statement, there are various layers of meaning in one statement. Many, many meanings to one statement. So statement has to be read in context. You have to give minor details, focus. And one statement has many levels of meaning. For example, this statement has at least three levels of meaning, what I can see. I can show you more. I can show you three of them. At least one thing what gopis are saying, we are your maid servants and, you see this, slaves. So gopis want to become slaves. You know what is a slave? Slave is not a maid servant. So maid servant is a person who likes to serve the master, but that's it. And she gets a pay or no pay, maybe. But slave is a person who never gets a pay, no pay, and the master can beat him, exploit him, do anything. No, that was a slave, no? Is to beat and exploit. So gopis are saying, please, we are your slaves, please exploit us. That's the idea. That is what is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. All other acharyas, they said, surrender to Krishna. We are servants, everybody. But Mahaprabhu said, I go beyond this. We are slaves. So slaves means we are praying to Krishna, Krishna exploit us. Exploit us means, you understand what's meaning of exploitation? Use and throw. Use us in your service, throw us. If you want that, no problem. Don't give us love, don't give us peace, don't give us happiness, still I'll serve you. If I tell you now that you chant 16 rounds all your life, follow four regulative principles, come to program, everything, and it's 100% sure after this life you're going to hell. If that's what Krishna tells you, you'll do? Do devotion? Nobody's going to do devotion. Come on, this is crazy, you know? I do everything perfectly and then it's sure that I'm going to hell. Nobody's going to do, no? And so we are not slaves. Slave means this, that he'll serve the master entire life and after serving he'll get beating. That slave, no? He knows I'll get beating at the end of the day. I'm a slave, but still I have to serve. No option. So this conception which Prabhupada is giving in one statement, it's excellent. That is Gaudiya Vaishnava conception. So I told you layers of meaning. This is one layer of meaning of this statement. And another layer is, therefore accept us by showing us your beautiful lotus-like face. Gopis are praying, accept us, no? That is, our whole prayer to Krishna is, please engage me in your service and accept us. It's not just matter of serving him. It's matter that whether he accepts or not. No? You can keep on serving somebody, but if he doesn't accept you, what's the point? Is it? So boyfriend will serve girlfriend and then he will say, please accept me as your husband. No? We have been boyfriend, girlfriend for so much time. Now I've been serving you. You're serving me. We love each other. Now please accept me as your husband. Okay. Then, that's pakka no. Otherwise, anything can break at any time. So that's why gopis are praying, please accept us. We have been serving you for so long. Now please accept us. Now you know the point is, who can pray, please accept us? Genuinely. Who can pray? Only a person who has always served his master, never cheated him, never disobeyed his order, he can pray, no? Please accept us. If you disobey your master, if you don't serve him, and if you pray, please accept us, you'll get a beating, nice beating, that's all. Nonsense, you know. What are you saying? You don't even serve me, you're cheating me, and you're praying, accept me? Oh, this is diplomacy, this is hypocrisy, no? So, please engage me in your service. That is one prayer. And when you keep on serving him perfectly, without diplomacy, without disobeying his order at any point of your time, then we are ready to pray, please accept us. And there is not just one statement. Prabhupada is writing in his, I think Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam, one of his purport, when you chant Hare Krishna, you should pray, please accept me, my Lord. That's also one meaning Prabhupada gives. Hare Krishna mantra meaning. One meaning Prabhupada gives, please engage me in your service. Krishna, please engage me in your service. Radha, engage me in your service. One meaning Prabhupada gives, Krishna, please accept me. Both are correct. Chaitanya Shikshastakam, both are there. Mama janmane janmaneshwari, bhaktad bhakti aitu kitai. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim, please engage me in your service, birth after birth. Next is Ainanda Tanujakin Karam Patitam Mambusham Bhambhutav. Kripya Tavapada Pankaja, please accept me. Both pairs. But first is please engage me in service. Then next is when you serve. When you become a servant, when you become a slave, Krishna will test you whether you are a slave or not by giving you nothing. But still you have to continue. And then that prayer will come. Then after this prayer will come. Please accept us. You see, this is not a small statement. So you have to see the sequence what Prabhupada is writing. You have to see the sequence. He writes in a sequence. So there is one layer. This layer is there. But the most important thing what I am going to tell here is which you can't see yourself. You will not be able to see it. What gopis are praying? Accept us by showing us your beautiful lotus-like face. Can anybody tell me? What does it mean statement? There is a very important philosophical point here. Very important. Anybody think? Or no thinking? No problem if you can't think. No problem, I'll tell. No, don't focus on lotus first of all. Otherwise you will miss the point. Forget lotus now. No. That is the same point, no? I'm selling many layers of meaning. There has to be a different layer of meaning, different realization. Okay, so
Some time given.
But okay, I'll give you a hint. Don't focus on lotus, don't focus on beautiful. Otherwise you'll not understand anything. Okay, so well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Finished. Okay, so the point is, I know you'll not be able to get it. The point is, gopis are praying, please accept us by showing us your beautiful like face. You know this by is the most important word here. By showing us. The point is, gopis want to get a confirmation of acceptance. How do you know whether Krishna has accepted you or not? Please accept us. How do you know? What's the proof? What's the evidence? So they want the evidence. Krishna, whether you have accepted us or not, how should we know? How should we console our heart? And what's the proof? What's the evidence that they have accepted? He will show himself. So gopis are saying, Krishna, we don't want to see you for our own satisfaction, for our own enjoyment of eyes. But we want to see you because we want to be convinced that you have accepted me, no? If your friend will accept you, then he'll come to meet you, no? If you call him, okay, Prabhu, how are you and you're nice. So I'm doing service for you. Are you happy? That friend will say, yeah, I'm happy. Okay, so let's meet. Then he'll call that friend for dinner. When he comes for dinner, then you're convinced, you know, he's happy with all your things, service. Just like you call sometimes boss. I don't know, America. India, sometimes you call your boss and then he comes, meets you. If he comes, he's happy. If he doesn't come, then this means he's not happy. If he's talufying, you know, come afterwards, he's not happy. So the proof of acceptance is his darshan. Seeing him, he'll come to meet you if he has accepted you. And gopis want evidence for that. So, if you're accepted by Lord, he will manifest himself unto you. If you're not accepted, he will not manifest. You understand? So Krishna has accepted us or not?
No,
he is not. He's not manifesting himself to us. In deity form, he has come out of his own mercy. But he's not accepted us. He's not revealed himself to us, his form, name, pastimes. So this is a proof he has not accepted us. We should not be in illusion that Krishna has accepted. We are trying to serve him, but we are not his servant. He has still not accepted us in his team of associates or whatever. We are not accepted. We are not accepted yet. We are in the waiting list, but not accepted. You understand, so this is another layer of meaning. So this, I can keep on talking about this statement, entire lecture. There are many other layers of meaning I can show you. At least three more I can tell you. It is there in this statement. Now that's why my point is, Prabhupada doesn't repeat. Otherwise, you might have read, you can keep on reading, we are your servants, please accept us, beautiful Lotus Lily, like, okay, and again, again. So Krishna book, so many, yeah, Krishna book, yeah, same thing happening. All prayers seem same, no? Prayers, all prayers, everybody, Vishpitama, everybody is praying, you are supreme, please accept us, you are supreme, what, you know, it's the same thing or what? It's not same, it's not same, you have to read properly. Okay, so there are various layers, so there's no repetition. So you see people who say Prabhupada's repeating, who are they? Who are they? They're fools, that's all. This, you have to use this word, that's all. What you can do? They're fools, they might be big scholars. They're sitting in Vrindavan, all of them. Reading Shatsandarvas, and Jiva Goswami books, and Rupa Goswami books, Vishwan Thakur, so many books. And they say Prabhupada books are, they're repeating, they're foolish. They can't understand what Prabhupada is saying. They don't want to understand, first of all. People have rejected. So nice, no? Now you read Prabhupada books, you will at least you will relish, you know, something to take out from that. Yeah, that's why I'm telling you. Now if you keep these points in mind, at the end of the seminar, I'll summarize all those points. Keep those points and then read. So by practice, it'll come. If you keep on reading, by that insight what I'm giving you, it'll keep on coming. By Krishna, by Krishna's blessing, you will keep on then seeing, no? Keep on seeing there. Okay? That's why I'm telling this, because we don't have that. Okay, so it seems Prabhupada is repeating words. Prabhupada is translating Karma Yoga as Bhakti Yoga, no? Prabhupada has translated all words, all state. It seems statements are repeating, statements are not. Words, it seems, always Prabhupada is writing Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. What's happening, you know, Prabhupada is translating everything Bhakti Yoga or what? It's like that, no? Every time Bhakti, Bhakti. So it seems Prabhupada is speculating. No, he's not repeating words. You see, this, why Prabhupada had said Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga? Why? What do you say? There has to be some reason, no? So it's there in Prabhupada books. It is right there in Prabhupada books. Bhagavad Gita, purport, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. Prabhupada says, the yajñas are directly aimed at particular demigods. Karma Yoga means for demigods they worship. Mentioned in the Vedas, indirectly it is practice of Krishna consciousness. Karma Yoga is indirectly practice of Krishna consciousness. Because when one masters the performance of yajñas, one is sure to become Krishna consciousness. Karma Yoga is to do with all with yajñas, no? There are duties of householder, Sandhya Vandanam, and yajñas. Householder has to do, that is Karma Yoga. Now, that it is practice of Bhakti Yoga. How? Because when you do yajñas and all, so many demigods' name and so many, you know, you're chanting so many things, you're doing following rules and regulations. So when you're trained in those rules, regulations, and you pray mantras to demigods, other demigods, as devotees, of course, you are praying mantras. So what happens is, Krishna is training you so that when you come to Him, you're already trained. How to please somebody, you know? Karma Yoga, you're trying to please demigods. So you're getting an idea what it means by pleasing. In Karma Yoga, you are doing some kind of sacrifice. Yajna means sacrifice. You're getting an idea what you mean by sacrifice. So, Professor Prabhupada says, it is indirectly practice of Krishna consciousness. So when you're trained, you come to Krishna. Krishna says, okay, forget demigods. Now, put all those training for me. Sacrifice for me. Please me. So then immediately we'll be able to relate, no? Is it? Just like Americans, if you say, it's so nice to give gifts and take gifts. They'll not understand any damn thing because they don't give gifts, no? Is it? They don't interact, no much. No gifts, nothing. So, or it's so nice to serve. They never served anybody, no? Their whole life is on them. So then you say, serve Krishna. First of all, the question is, who is Krishna? But more important question is, what do you mean by service? What the hell is service, you know? Why you are saying service is so nice? Come on, you know, I never served anybody. I never served my parents also. So that is why Karma Yoga, there are many things in Karma Yoga. Serve your parents, some sacrifice, some demigods. So Krishna is training you to serve Himself. You understand? So there was one devotee, Chandidas. Chandidas, Mahaprabhu's Leela. So he used to worship Chandi. Chandi, you understand? Kali. pakka devotee of Chandi. So then one day, Chandi was praying, please give me moksha, please give me moksha. Chandi came and she told, see, I cannot give you moksha. Only Krishna can give, if at all you want moksha. So Chandidas told, he started weeping. He said, you wasted my life, you know. Why didn't you tell me the first day? I would have just gone to Krishna, that's all. So Chandi told, well, you didn't never ask me. You never asked me. Now you're asking me, I'm telling you. But Chandi told, no problem. Chandidas, I have trained you to serve Krishna. I am devotee of Krishna. Whatever offerings you were giving me, I was passing to Krishna. I have trained you for serving Krishna. Now you know what is devotion. You know what is service. You know what is discipline. You know what is puja. Do everything for Krishna. And immediately Krishna will beg him, please, no. Because he's already trained, no? He's already trained. So that's why Prabhupada says, Karma Yoga is indirectly practice of Krishna. That's why Prabhupada translates Karma Yoga as Bhakti Yoga. You understand now? Prabhupada is not repeating. There's a logic to that. So Prabhupada is not repeating words. Prabhupada is using so many words in Bhagavad Gita, Buddhi Yoga. Prabhupada translates Buddhi Yoga as action in Krishna consciousness, not intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So when you are reading words, you have to keep in mind also how Prabhupada is translating that word, word-to-word meaning. Please read word-to-word meaning. Prabhupada gives word-to-word meaning. There's a purpose to that. It's not just, I mean to say, hardly anybody reads word-to-word meaning, no? You read words, translation proper, chalo ho gaya. But word-to-word meaning, if you read Prabhupada, word-to-word meaning, Prabhupada translates Buddhi Yoga as action in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada translates enthusiasm as what? Prabhupada translates enthusiasm as? No. Explains. How does he translate that? No. Prabhupada translates as practical action in Krishna consciousness. That is enthusiasm. Such a beautiful definition Prabhupada gives. Practical action, not just action. Practical action. Practical action means that action which has some results in vision. That is enthusiasm. If you are serving Krishna, preaching about him, book distribution, okay, what are the results now? How much book distribution you have done? If you are doing this program, okay, how many people you have connected? Tell us. And by that we will understand how much enthusiasm you have. By results you understand enthusiasm. Sometimes results come, sometimes do not. No problem. But we should aim for results. We should not aim. One thing you can say, I'm enthusiastic, I'm doing this program, okay? One thing is that. And you're doing sincerely also, not no problem. Another thing is that I'm doing this program, in 1 month I should have 20 people more. There's a target, target-oriented action. Companies, they do like that, no? So Prabhupada says enthusiasm means target-oriented action. You might achieve the target or not, that's another thing. But you should fix targets. That's very important. You should fix targets. Bhava, bhava Prabhupada doesn't translate as emotions. Word-to-word meaning, Prabhupada translates bhava as determination. Shushrubi, you know, understand, you know, this is first verse of Bhagavatam. That word comes, Shushrubi. Shushrubi means what? Shruti? Hear? Prabhupada doesn't translate this as hearing. Prabhupada translates this as culturing. Culture of Krishna consciousness, not hearing. Because what is the intention of hearing? Culturing, no? You have to culture, no? So, that's why when Prabhupada writes word-to-word meaning, you have to focus on that. Prabhupada is giving practical realizations. He's not repeating again and again. Prabhupada gives Krishna consciousness definition. What does Prabhupada give? What is Krishna consciousness? What does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said many things. But in his letters, if you read letters, please read letters. Again and again, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna consciousness means propaganda. He's not saying preaching. He's saying another higher level of step of preaching, propaganda. Propaganda. Prabhupada is saying, do propaganda, propaganda. You have to do propaganda. Just like this program, any program, invest 80% of energy on propaganda. Because anyway, if you speak to 4 people, if you speak to 40 people, it's all the same. You have to speak the same. But if you're speaking to 4 people, you're spending your energy, you know, wasting your energy. Better speak to 40, better speak to 400. So that's why companies, they invest all their funds for propaganda, no? Major amount of funds goes for advertisement. Same thing. this word-to-word meaning. So sometimes word-to-word meaning Prabhupada gives. Sometimes in his letters, Prabhupada gives meaning of that word. He's not repeating. Krishna consciousness, so many times this word might have come. But then he adds to that. Illusion, Prabhupada defines illusion as misconception. Many places, not just illusory energy. It's a misconception. We have misconceptions, that's all, no? We have misconception we are this body. We are not soul. So Prabhupada gives practical meanings to words. So he's not repeating. Words you have to focus. Oh, you have heard this? Para upkar? Compassion? ISKCON, there is a lot of talk of compassion. Compassion, compassion, compassion. It's not... Yeah, Mahaprabhu's mission is para upkar, compassion. What that means? If you see word-to-word meaning of para upkar, Prabhupada translates this as, now it is a fight. Prabhupada translates as fighting. Compassion means fighting. Prabhupada says, simply go on sincerely working for this movement. Nobody can defeat you. Take all strategic points, fighting with Maya, and become victorious. That's what Prabhupada translates para upkar. You see? Compassion means fighting. Do you understand? Why? Does it seem... Compassion means fighting? Does it seem like that? It doesn't seem like that, no. It means fighting. You know why? We shall fight with Maya. It is a great declaration of fight with Maya. Not with Maya. We are not fighting with Maya, actually. Our fight is with demons. Maya is servant, maid servant of Krishna. She can withdraw by order of Krishna, no? She can withdraw by order of Krishna. But demons will not withdraw. No, demons are still there. So fight is not with Maya. If you do devotion nicely, Maya will leave you. But what about demons who are confusing ignorant people? What about them? So fight with demons. But she cannot withdraw because people are demons. So this European opposition, American opposition, is that demons are now feeling the pressure. Prabhupada is writing a letter to some devotee in Bhuvaneshwar, from Bhuvaneshwar, in America, and Prabhupada, and at that time ISKCON was very preaching mood, no? So sometimes government was giving pressure, you know. America was afraid of ISKCON. It's spreading like fire, you know. Everybody is taking to ISKCON devotion, and so government was little worried about that. In Germany, government persecuted devotees. In Russia, they persecuted. In Africa, they persecuted. Prabhupada is saying this is good. European opposition, American opposition, is that demons are now feeling the pressure of the movement. That is recognition that now it is fight. We have to defend. Fight has started. That is compassion. Compassion means saving ignorant people. And to save people, you have to fight. You have to fight. You can't save just sitting in your room. You can't save just by giving blessings. Just all these dhongi guru, all these bogus gurus, they do like that, no? Okay, blessings. Everything will become all right. How it will become all right? How it will become all right? You have to fight for truth, no? Everybody fought for truth, no? I mean to say Martin Luther King, he fought for truth. He didn't say everything is all right. He fought. Everybody fought. So, compassion means fighting. See how Prabhupada is redefining words? Prabhupada is redefining words. We have some idea of some word and we spend whole life in that, our own misconception. We have to read Prabhupada's books. What is Prabhupada's mood? And mission. How does Prabhupada... So many times Prabhupada might have used compassion, but he is not repeating. Every time he is giving a definition, an insight into that word. You understand? So what Arjuna is doing? Yeah, he is fighting, no? Kurukshetra battle. Actually, he is doing compassion. You think he is fighting, but he is doing para upkar. On whom? On the word. He is saving the word from Duryodhan and Pati, no? They're trying to destroy. He'll destroy them to save the world. That is compassion, no? What else is compassion? Ram, he destroyed Ravan for what? Entire Ramayana is fighting. And we say Ram is so compassionate. Why is he compassionate? Because he's saving the people, no? So without fight, you can't save the world. You have to fight. Fight not with sword, but with knowledge. With pen. Sword and pen. With knowledge and with purity. You have to be pure, otherwise you can't fight demons. So you see, words, Prabhupada is not repeating words. People are fools who say Prabhupada repeats. He's not repeating. But this is in letter. Okay, some people say Prabhupada books are boring. Oh, how much time we go? Okay, anyway. Some people say Prabhupada books are boring. They say no, because they are repeating. But now we are seeing they are not repeat there. Do you think Prabhupada books are boring? Now, after? It's not like that. If you read properly, it's not. But Prabhupada books have fire of preaching. Prabhupada books are special. Even if he was repeating, still every statement there is preaching fire, enthusiasm for preaching. Prabhupada says, preaching is always difficult. This is letter, 1978. Preaching is difficult. You might think preaching is easy, but it's difficult. It's difficult, no? It's like I'm speaking for so much time and I don't know how much you'll understand and how much you'll follow. So, what you have to do? It's difficult to make people understand. Even if you make understand, it's difficult for us to make people follow. So it's difficult. And not only because of that, but if you preach properly, truth, you will face opposition from people. Is it? Prabhupada says it's difficult. You cannot take it easy. Prabhupada says don't take preaching easy. Preaching must be a fight. See? Prabhupada says it is fight with wrong conceptions. Fight with all crazy ideas. I wrote a book, Crazy Ideas. It's fight with them. We have to convince them. We have to refute them. What is right? What is wrong? You can refute them nicely. You don't have to bang them. But you have to refute them. That you have to do. You say fighting is an easy thing. Preaching must be a fight. You say fighting is an easy thing. So you see, Prabhupada, this is one letter. And letter, Prabhupada is giving us the mood of preaching, no? Enthusiasm to preach. It's not boring. If you hear this statement, you get a mood. Okay, yes, now I have to prepare myself to fight with myself, first of all. You have to fight with yourself, no? Your own stupid mind. And then others. You have to fight. So, I'll quote you one from Prabhupada's letter. This is from Prabhupada's letter. And it will shock you what Prabhupada is saying. Prabhupada's book has fire of preaching. And what Prabhupada says is, okay, this is a letter. 1st July 1970. Prabhupada is writing this letter to a devotee in foreign country. He is old. And Prabhupada is writing, please accept my humble obeisances. I beg to acknowledge the receipt of your kind letter dated 24th June 1970. And I am very glad to learn that your last responsibilities in family affairs are now discharged. Your two daughters are now married. Now in this ripe old age means that devotee should be around 60, 70 something. You can devote yourself for spreading Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Instead of saying in this ripe old age you go to Dham, everything is done. But they're saying now you can devote yourself spreading Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Not just in your colony. So Prabhupada used to think big. You have to think big. You can't just think small. If you think 100%, 20% will happen. If you think 20%, nothing will happen.
Could you read a complete paragraph, please?
Read for you?
No, yeah. That paragraph.
This one?
Yeah.
Please accept my humble obeisances. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your kind letter dated 24 June 1970. And I am very glad to learn that your last responsibilities in family affairs are now discharged. Your two daughters are now married. Now, in this ripe old age, you can devote yourself for spreading Krishna conscious movement all over the world. This is Prabhupada. That is his mood. And you get by reading these books. Otherwise, we'll plan, you know, when we become old, we'll do this, we'll do that. Come on, what do you want to do? Just go and preach. That's all. That's the best. Anybody can do that's the best. Just like Prabhupada did. So, his books have fire. He doesn't repeat. Repetition, I told you, repetition is sometimes necessary, no? For confirmation and for enthusiasm. That's also necessary to give enthusiasm. This letter, that, and I don't know what happened to that person. I might have got that letter. What happened, you know? I go, like 65, 70 years old, what? I'm going to die and now all over the world. I'm not Prabhupada. But Prabhupada knew how to inspire people. He could make things move. He could inspire people. He could make people do what they thought was impossible. And they were doing. Actually, they were doing all those things. Preaching all over the world. Young people, you know, young youths, Prabhupada engaged hippies. All 19, 18 years, but no experience, nothing. But they were preaching all over the world. Prabhupada made them did. So that's Prabhupada books. Prabhupada books are not boring. If you preach, then you will like his books. If you don't preach, then it will be boring. No? If you don't preach, if you're afraid, oh, Prabhupada is saying this, oh yeah, now I will never read letters of Prabhupada. Leave aside. It happens like that. Many devotees don't read, no, yeah, this is too much, I can't read now. Forget these books. And then the please, it's boring. There's nothing, you know. There's no Radha, there is no Krishna. Okay. You can read Radha Krishna, but before that you need service, no? By service you understand Radha Krishna, otherwise what we'll understand, what we can understand Radha Krishna? It's simply some material affairs. So they're not boring. So when you read Prabhupada books, you have to keep in mind, you have to take out the mood. Don't just take out information. Not just statement, not just words, not just context, not just layers of meaning. There's something called meaning, there's something called mood. So you have to catch the mood there. Behind those words, what is behind those words? You understand? That, then you will find Prabhupada books. Okay, people say Prabhupada books are not systematic, but Prabhupada books are systematic. Prabhupada has himself in his books said what is the system of reading books. If you read the Prabhupada books, you will understand Prabhupada books are systematic. Prabhupada's chapters of Gita are systematic, for example. Prabhupada quotes in Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, first verse purport. Prabhupada quotes how to read Prabhupada books. Prabhupada says, in the first 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the body and the position by which he can understand the Supreme Lord are described. First 2-6 chapters. And the middle 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between individual soul and super soul in regard to devotional service are described. First 6 chapters, this is described. Middle 6 chapters, this is described. Prabhupada is writing in Bhagavad Gita. So who says Gita is not, Prabhupada books are not systematic? Gita is systematic. This is 18th chapter, first verse, purport. Prabhupada is saying again, in first 6 chapters, stress is given to devotional service. In the next 6 chapters, from 7th chapter to 12th chapter, pure devotional service, nature and activity are discussed. In third 6 chapters, from 13th chapter to 18th chapter, knowledge, renunciation, activities, material nature, transcendental nature, devotional service were described. Prabhupada is giving the system to read in his books. What is the system to read books? He's giving. Simple. Simple, no? Who says Prabhupada books are not systematic? Chapters of Gita, chapters are systematic, every book. Theme of a chapter is systematic. Even one chapter is systematic. If you read, Prabhupada is giving in purport, 7th chapter, 30th verse. One chapter is systematic. Now how do you read a chapter? Prabhupada is giving hint. I told you Prabhupada gives hints. He is giving hint. Prabhupada is writing many subjects. In 7th chapter, Prabhupada is writing. 7th chapter is 30 verses. It's the last verse. Prabhupada is writing, many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. 7th chapter. What are those discussed? This is in sequence. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation of birth at this old age, and worship of Supreme Lord. See? So if you read this chapter by this hint, you will be able to understand how Krishna is progressing in 7th chapter. It is systematic. Sections are systematic in Prabhupada books. In Bhagavad Gita, for example, 3rd chapter, 36th shloka to 43rd shloka, Krishna is talking about lust. If you want to know about lust, desires. If you want to know about soul and super soul, 15th chapter, 16th verse to 20th verse. There are sections, no? Prabhupada is giving hints in those sections. If you want to talk about, for example, qualities of devotee, what do you read? You understand? Where do you go? Have you read Gita? Is there in Gita?
Devotional service,
12th chapter. Okay, 12th chapter, but which section? I'm talking about section. Okay, section 12th chapter from 12th verse to 20th verse. That's talking about all qualities. So if you want to learn about who is a demon, okay, well, fine. 16th chapter. From 19th verse onwards, all that. So it's systematic, no? If it's not systematic, how do we know what is chapter sequence, what is theme sequence, what are sections? Every verse is having a systematic. You want to know about faith, read 9th chapter first, 11th verse. How do I know Prabhupada is talking about faith? You read, you'll come to know everything. You want to read about hearing, 7th chapter first verse. You want to read about pure devotee symptoms, 10th chapter 9th verse. I'm giving some hints to you. So you have to find systematic ways to read Prabhupada books in those books. Prabhupada is giving hints how to read. If person is thinking Prabhupada books aren't systematic, he's fool. He's not read Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada's every paragraph is a systematic thing. This is one paragraph. It's gone down anyway. This is from... Can you see something systematic here? I'll read something to you. This is one paragraph from Gita. Lord is the source of all generation. He is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am original source of all. Everything is under me, no one is above me. Any systematic thing? Same thing, no, it's like boring. It's not boring. There's a system going on here. You know, this verse is purport to this verse. Oh. What is this verse? I am source of all spiritual and material world. Everything. Aham Sarva, 10th chapter, 8th verse. So if you read this purport, this paragraph is all systematic. I'll show you how. You have to find systematic in chapters, in sections, in one verse, and in paragraphs. Everything is logical. You see, Lord Krishna is source of all generations. And he's called the most efficient cause of everything. Now, if he's source of everything, you might ask, how he's source of everything? Now, does he make everything personally or indirectly? That's the question. Now, if I'm a source, if I want to make phones, if I make phones, do I make it directly or indirectly? So Prabhupada says, he is the efficient cause of everything. He's like a potter. If a potter makes a pot, what is the cause of pot? Tell me, what's the cause of pot?
Clay.
There are two causes, no? One is mud and one is a potter. Is it? So mud is called two causes. So mud is called material cause and the potter is called efficient cause. So Prabhupada is saying, Lord Krishna is source of everything. He is cause of everything. But he is the efficient cause of everything. He is not the material cause. You got my point? He makes things. By using what? By using earth, water, fire, and ether. He instructs Brahma then to make other things. He's the most efficient. You see, there's a system here why Prabhupada is writing. So after everything, you have to question. And Prabhupada is answering that question. You got my point? That's systematic, no? Why this is like this, so next. Why this is like that, next. Now, he says, because everything is born of me, I am original source of all. Everything is under me, no one is above me. If everything is caused by Krishna, question is everything controlled by him? When a pot makes a pot, he can sell, then no longer pot is under his control, no? I can make the fan, but it's not under my control now. So, okay, fine. He has made everything. Is everything under control to him? So, Prabhupada questions, everything is under me. No one is above me. Everything is under his control. Next statement. So, if you read this entire paragraph, every line Prabhupada is answering some question. So, every line you read, you have to raise some question, answer some question. If you don't understand question, go to next line and try to figure out what is the question. So Prabhupada, every paragraph is systematic, if you read properly. You understand? You have to practice now reading, otherwise you will... Entire seminar I have heard, but I don't understand. The same thing, you know. But it's not same thing. See, the more you read, the more insight you will get. It comes by reading. That's all. And not only reading, but discussing. You have to discuss. Some person will come with some idea, then you have to discuss like this, keeping all my points in mind. And the last is, no time. What's the answer to this? It's simple. Where there is well, there is well. That's all, simple. Prabhupada writes again and again in his purports that people give excuse. People have all the time to earn money, people have all the time to other things, but no time for me. So you have to take out time. It's a stupid excuse. I don't have time. It's a stupid excuse. Prabhupada said, if you don't have time, Prabhupada said, don't sleep. Prabhupada said that. Seriously, Prabhupada said. One devotee came and asked, one householder devotee, that Prabhupada, what should I do? I don't have time. I have so much work, this, this, this. Prabhupada said, don't sleep. But it seems impractical because how you don't sleep, no? And then Prabhupada says, okay, skip your meal. Skip your meal. The time of meal, read. Or do some service. You understand? So, it seems impractical, but Prabhupada has written many times over and over again in his letters, in his books, cut your eating, cut your sleeping. If you don't have time, then you have to do that, no? You have to spend time. Now, according to your body, I'm not saying that don't sleep, otherwise you'll become sick. Many devotees, if you don't sleep, then you can have accidents. No, that's a problem. But the idea is, where there is will, there is a way. Krishna will give you intelligence to take out time. Krishna can expand time, no? Is it? No, do you believe that or not? How? Practically. Talk practical. Prabhupada is always practical. That's what in one of his books you have to also keep in mind. He's practical. Practical realizations. Now what do you say? You all know Krishna can expand time. You all know.
Your personal time.
You have all experienced that.
So whatever is our own work, we'll get it fast.
When you chant, you feel like you're... Although in the morning, it looks like we have a little...
Okay, I'll give you example. Anyway, I mean to say, these are all subjective things. Now, I'll give you some practical example. You see, when you came to Krishna consciousness, somebody asked you to chant one round, two round, and you told, I don't have time. But now you're chanting 16 rounds, same life, but you've got time. You see, same life, same things, but now you have time for 16 rounds. Previously, you didn't have time for two rounds. That was also hectic, now it's also hectic. And it happens, no? Many people join a congregation. Same grasta, same household, same job. You tell one, two rounds, he'll say no time. He'll say try, one, two rounds. Slowly he'll come to 16 rounds. Same schedule. How? From where he got time? Krishna expanded time for him. Krishna gave him intelligence. How to use time properly. So if you want to read, if you want to do more, Krishna will give you intelligence. But you have to do, you have to keep in mind to do more, no? If you don't want to do, if you think, yeah, this is too much, okay, fine, you know. I can't do more than this. Then Krishna will not give you intelligence. Okay, sit down. That's all, finish. So no time is excuse. Where there is will, there is way. Krishna will find a way for you, but you should have a will. That's all. He will expand. He will give you intelligence. How to take out time. So, that's five reasons. All are excuses. Prabhupada books are ABCD. What do you say now? Do you feel? No. Prabhupada books have everything. Prabhupada books are repetitive. What do you feel? You don't think so. Prabhupada was boring? Absolutely not. Prabhupada books are unsystematic? No. And no time? Of course. Death will not ask you whether you had time or not time. She will just take you away. Before that, you have to prepare yourself. Prabhupada wrote one letter to one devotee. He was chanting very nicely. He used to chant nicely. I don't know exactly his history, but by letter I can make out. Prabhupada is writing, see, you might be chanting very nicely and very expertly. That's very nice. But the test is death. If you can't think of Krishna at death, whatever chanting nice and whatever, it's all gone. Because you get another body. And next body, who knows, if you become animal, what do you do? But of course, if you are serving Krishna nicely, you don't become animal. Prabhupada says human form is guaranteed. But you don't know where you're born, you know. Maybe China, maybe some slave. Maybe no facilities, you know. You can't chant properly. Now you've got all facilities. Take our time. Take our time. Steve Jobs, you know, all these demons, you know. They were... I mean to say, what for money they were taking out all time, no? Like if you read their history, Marx used to sleep 2 hours, that's all. Karl Marx, communist, he read all library, he used to walk night in the on the carpets, and all carpets got, you know, like, they just evaporated, you know, by his walking. He was determined to make a change. And Steve Jobs, if you read his history, he was also like working day and night for company. And who was that? I forgot the name. That CEO, very famous company. He used to hang himself upside down so that I don't get sleep. And he used to think about how, what's happening with company, profits, loss. And people, if they can do for themselves, for money, why can't we do for Krishna? I'm not telling that you hang yourself.
I have a question.
But
that guy, through that Maya, you said Maya is a means. Steve Jobs and those CEOs, are you a scientist in the lab? I got a guy like
So then?
Who comes very sincerely in the morning and devotes to cancer research. And sometimes sleeps right there and goes. He's a karma yogi. And you
no, no.
Life to the service of the human.
No. The point is, principle is.
The people, right? Again.
No. I'm saying something else. Mm. Principle is same.
Yeah.
They are serving themselves or people, whatever. They are serving people or whatever they are doing. But we are serving God. Principle is same. If they can apply time for Krishna, their material world, we can learn from them. And same, we can apply energy for Krishna. That's what I'm talking. If they can do, why can't we do for Krishna? That's the idea. Just like Prabhupada was once crossing the road. And I told you this. And there was one female, one girl. She was standing right on the opposite and was snowing. And she was wearing miniskirt. Snow, you can imagine snow, miniskirt, and one t-shirt, that's all. And like all snow, everybody was wearing fur. So Prabhupada told his assistant, "You're seeing that girl?" He told, "Yes, I'm already seeing, you know, last some couple of minutes." So Prabhupada told, "Well, you see how determined she is to expose her body? Even in snow, she wants to expose her body." Prabhupada says, "So we should be determined to serve Krishna like that." You can learn from that, no? You can take diamond even if it's in garbage. So that's the point I'm trying to make. These people are doing so much for Maya, for themselves or for whatever. We can learn from that. Why can't we do for Krishna? If Krishna is the best thing, best person, we should be applying more energy for Krishna than them. So the idea is, you see your life. I'm not saying you hang upside down or don't sleep or do whatever, you know, panga, but where there is will, there is. If you want to take out time, Krishna will give you intelligence. If you think, yaar, it's done, isse zyada nahi ho sakta. It happens with all of us, no? We are fully packed, you know, it can't be like more than this. It's impossible. It's not impossible. you have made it impossible for yourself by your own foolishness. Is it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to chant 64 rounds, you can imagine. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to chant daily 64 rounds. He had 10 kids. He had a job, magistrate, and he was writing books. How he was doing? He was a householder, he was not a brahmachari. How he was doing? You can say he is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, if he is doing so much, you can do at least 1% of that, no? So Krishna can do impossible possible. He will give you intelligence, he will give you energy to do it. If you don't have energy, he will give you. If you have that passion, then all your sleep will go. Everything will go. Finish. I'll talk about that. Just a minute. I'll finish it. So, okay. So, entire seminar is over. So, now what we have to do? That's the point. This is the action plan. How to read. These are the tips I have been giving you in my entire seminar. Follow these tips. Now, you have to do something, no? Mm-hmm. Seminar over and क्या कहते हैं रात गई बात गई इसलिए मैंने कुछ प्रैक्टिकल चीजें लिख दी हैं दीज आर द टिप्स व्हेनेवर यू रीड प्रभुपाद बुक्स फर्स्ट फॉलो एंड प्रैक्टिस व्हाट प्रभुपाद इज सेइंग अदरवाइज यू विल नॉट अंडरस्टैंड एनी डैम थिंग स्मॉल बुक्स आर नॉट स्मॉल प्लीज रीड स्मॉल बुक्स दे आर ऑल्सो इंपॉर्टेंट रीड लेटर्स एंड कन्वर्सेशंस एंड इफ इट इज लिटिल कन्फ्यूजिंग डिस्कस विद डिवोटीज लेटर एंड कन्वर्सेशंस might be some contextual thing to some person, but there are some general instructions you can read. Keep the context in mind when you're reading the books. Observe the minor details in every statement. Observe some special statements which Prabhupada is making. Layers of meanings in the statement, keep in mind. Word-to-word meaning, keep in mind. Imbibe the mood of preaching. see behind the statements and words, what's the mood. Speak strongly. What Prabhupada is speaking? You have to speak, no? You have to repeat. Prabhupada is saying, okay, preach, you have to preach. Okay. Prabhupada said in his books, I am the only acharya, only spiritual person who is traveling all over the world and telling and cutting all their ideas. I am the only person who is opposing everything in this material world. Nobody opposed. No, Prabhupada opposed political system, economic system. Prabhupada said against everything. Economic system is nonsense, Prabhupada said in his books. Banking system, it's crazy. Petroleum system is nonsense. Political system, religious system, educational system. Prabhupada said, opposed everything. And that is why people opposed him, no? We read, government were opposing me. Prabhupada said, I am opposing. Why? Because that is compassion, no? Fighting? That's fighting, no? Opposition. Fighting with words. So, yeah, you have to keep in mind mood of preaching and the mood. Prabhupada is speaking strongly in his books. You have to find how Prabhupada is opposing anti-arguments. He is opposing anti-arguments everywhere. And find the theme and the systematic knowledge, logic in chapters, in sections, in words, in purports, in paragraphs. There is some logic. Try to find that logic. If you keep these tips and read Prabhupada's books, then you can understand. Prabhupada said, in Signs of Self-Realization, I shall never die, I shall forever live in my books. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.